S-R-N.
Doc, she didn't even look at him.
This is more serious than I thought. Apparently, your mother is amorously infatuated with you instead of your father.
Whoa, wait a minute. Doc, are you trying to tell me that my mother has got the hots for me?
Precisely.
Whoa, this is heavy.
There's that word again, heavy. Why are things so heavy in the future? Is there a problem with the Earth's gravitational pull?
What?
Welcome to episode 34 of Cinema Crespo Diso. It is me, Christopher Crespo, just doing this thing again on a Labor Day weekend. Hope you're laboring out there. We're not laboring. Whatever you're supposed to do this weekend, do it. I'm here with my co-host, My co-host, the Andy Richter and Mike Conan. Haven't said that in a while.
I am no form of sausage, sir.
No form of sausage. Ed McMahon to my Johnny Carson, Carl to my Chief Wiggums. Drew Sircogran. How's it going, Drew?
Doing okay. You're a weird dude.
I am a weird dude.
You're a really weird guy.
I try my best. And with a special returning guest, the one and only Matt.
Captain Matt.
@gmail.com. Matt is jabbing on Twitter.
We got to do something, man, because, I mean, that's a big build up to... One syllable to Matt. Going like with the whole share route.
You know? And it's Matt.
Appreciate you coming back on.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's a very hungover edition of the show today.
Yes.
Fellas.
Not a problem. It is Labor Day weekend, so we are recording a little early, a little too early for me to be drinking beer during the show for once. Might be the second show I haven't had a drink during.
I
just had a fruit smoothie, so a beer on top of that would be a little...
That'd be yummy.
A little weird.
It's a nice little treat.
Well, we got a really packed show. Got a lot to talk about. It's going to be good stuff. Crespo Dome, crazy packed. Got some really interesting things I think people are going to like. But we're going to start, like we always do, with the good old Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. Drew's got the Crespo Diso Randomizer 9000, the now familiar sound of the randomizer rolling up. And Matt, will you please?
Oh, I'm picking it. Okay.
Yes, that is right. If you can please pick one, but before you say it, give it to Drew so we can verify that it's still on there.
I just got
to
make sure it still exists.
Because I could have put that in the randomizer like 4 months ago, and it's been gone forever.
Do you put everything that's on Netflix in there, or only movies that you
I go through it and I hand select ones. They're mostly movies I would give 4 stars. There are a couple of
4 out of 4 or 4 out of 5?
4 out of 5, because they do it. Netflix does it out of 5. So most of the ones are ones I would rate 4 stars, but there are a few 3-star ones in there that, you know, I like for other reasons.
What do you give 5 stars to?
Oh, it's gotta be like
one,
the best
one
thing
movie.
Ever.
Like There Will Be Blood is the last movie I saw in a theater that I would say is like a 5.
I never saw that movie.
Oh my
so
God.
Good.
I heard it was boring.
I drink your milkshake, bro.
Some parts can be considered boring by certain people. I'd get it.
Was it good for the movie or good for Daniel Day-Lewis?
It's good for everything.
Oh, Daniel Day-Lewis is so great.
It's the guy who did Boogie Nights and Magnolia.
I like Magnolia a lot. That was a pretty underrated movie.
Yeah, so the guy's a crazy director. All right, but what do we got in this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week? Matt, here we go.
Watching Rollerball.
Oh, Rollerball. Snap. Rollerball. All right, now.
I've never seen that either.
Speaking of which, this is a movie that I actually rated on Netflix 3 stars. I think I rated it 3 stars. They don't let you do half stars. I would do a 3.5 on Netflix if I could.
You gave it 4.
Oh, I gave it 4?
You gave it 4.
Still, like I'm saying, I would rather give it 3.5. That's where I would put this one because it's iconic. It's James Caan in the 70s, so he's kind of young. It's like right around the Godfather days, and it's like in the future where instead of war, countries put together rollerball teams, you know, and it's kind of like a roller derby, but meets, I don't know, like Kill the Man with the Ball. And they're on skates, and some of them are on skates, some of them are on
motorcycles
and like ATVs and stuff. And they're going around a track roller derby style, and they're messing each other up with their spike shoulders and things. And they're trying to, they have this ball that they have to get in to score with, you know, put in the goal.
So it's like Death Race.
Yeah, it's like Death Race, but on a you know, on a track, and each country. Actually, are the countries or corporations?
Global mega corporations.
Global mega corporations. Yeah, so instead of countries, they're just these global mega corporations.
James Caan's like the best rollerballer.
James
Caan
is the best one of all time, named Jonathan, and he's being forced into retirement by his global mega corporation overlords. And the rollerball scenes are fantastic. Some of the political stuff and, you know, the 70s paranoia stuff in there is pretty cool. I will admit that there are stretches of this movie that are a little boring. Like 70s style boring. You know how things were just more slowed down back then. And
oh, the pacing.
Just. And sometimes I really like that stuff. Sometimes it doesn't work. Rollerball has a mix of the two. So there's some things that you're going to have to like kind of sit through. But you're going to want to get to the final rollerball match at the end, which is totally badass. What's the year of this movie? 77?
75.
Oh, even younger. Close. James Caan. Nice. Very nice. Good pick, Matt. Well, good thanks. Job.
Yeah, you know, I do what I can.
Yeah, we appreciate it. That's why we have you on. And I got contacted on Facebook at facebook.com/cinemacrespediso. Someone sent a message to the show. His name on Facebook is Gabriel Rage Against the FB Machine.
Oh, I know. Yeah, yeah.
You know that guy?
I do know Gabriel. He actually, back when I was on terrestrial radio, he won the bid. I bowled with him a couple of times at the Phil's File Bowling Tournament. I know Gabriel well.
Very nice. Well, he contacted the show, said he likes the show, and he had a pretty neat idea that I kind of like playing off of the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week. He thought maybe every now and then we could throw out the Netflix Instant Chick of the Week, which isn't exactly what you would think it is. We're not talking about objectifying women here. We can do that at another time.
Okay.
He suggested maybe every now and then throw out a movie that's kind of like a chick flick sort of thing. It's a movie that like the ladies would like, but the dudes could tolerate. That, you know, you're not going to be like, oh, this movie's killing me.
Like, you know? Serendipity.
I hate that movie. But you like it, though.
That's my favorite romantic comedy of all time.
So there you go. And that would be your like chick pick. If a girl wanted to watch a movie and she hadn't seen Serendipity, you'd be like, let's throw this.
There was a time in my fraternity days when me and three of my fraternity brothers were all in a room watching Serendipity on a Saturday afternoon by ourselves as people came by saying, what in the hell are you guys?
I was just about to ask, what in the hell were you guys thinking?
And loving every minute of it.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
I love that. That's fantastic.
That's a bromance if I've ever heard of it.
Still, to this day. I could call Dave Wine, and if I see Serendipity on TV, I send a text and say, hey, turn on Lifetime right now.
That's awesome. And then you call each other and talk to you. And just sit there silently on the phone and watching a movie together. He did suggest a movie called Harold's Going Stiff, and it sounds like another version of Warm Bodies where it's a zombie movie.
I saw Warm Bodies. I thought it was really stupid.
You thought it was really stupid?
I did.
I thought it was like, I was kind of lenient.
I was really disappointed. And I love zombie movies. When I saw it.
Yeah.
Love zombie movies.
It's not much for a zombie movie.
Yeah.
It's more of a zombie movie for teen girls who want more of a love story.
Exactly.
About Nicholas Holt as a zombie. Harold's Going Stiff, I think, is sort of along the same lines. I haven't seen it, but Gabriel recommends it. So I'll throw out a recommendation out there. It's actually a past pick of the week that I'll just bring it up again because it's actually a little timely for this episode. There's a movie on there called In the Mood for Love. It's a Chinese film by this director Wong Kar-wai, who does a lot
We just saw a Wong Kar-wai movie.
There you go. That's why I bring it up. It's very... he specializes in movies about people that, like, it's a lot of lost love and, like...
Unrequited
love or, like, oh, I'm too restrained. It's a lot of longing in his movies.
Yes.
So a lot of, slow motion stuff and really lush, gorgeous cinematography. Great music. That's his style. Even when he does a kung fu movie, he goes that way, which we'll talk about in a minute here. So In the Mood for Love, I'd say check that one out. I think the dudes will like the style and the way it looks, and it's a love story, so the ladies will get all emotional. And who knows, maybe guys, it'll touch you deep down inside where you're soft
like
a woman.
Woman.
Let's get into the box office results. Drew, what do you got box office wise for us over here? We got a lot to talk about.
All right, well, starting off with
We don't even know.
Probably very low number, seeing how it's only been released in 385 theaters nationwide. The Spectacular Now.
Spectacular Now. I
never heard.
Never even heard of it. Right.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's
that's the point.
Yeah, it's an independent film, indie movie, one of these things with the kid who was like the star jock in that Project X movie.
Yeah, and he was in that movie.
Yes. Okay. I remember. I'm trying to remember who the jock was, but I remember.
And you remember the movie? He was the tall guy. He showed up on the bus and like he's like, oh, yes. He saw him in the supermarket.
Yeah. He was in that 21 and Up movie.
He was.
I kept seeing him in the trailers.
That's
for
right.
That.
He was in that. He plays a guy who he's a senior in high school. He's 17 years old, and. He's a party animal. He thinks he's the life of the party. He thinks everyone loves him, but everyone really, you know, he's kind of a joke, really. He just, like, breaks up with this girl, and he's not about having a future. He's all living in the present. This girl breaks up with him, actually, and then he meets another girl, and she's, like, a really nice girl. It's a chick from, you ever see The Descendants, the George Clooney movie?
No,
in
I
Hawaii?
Haven't, actually.
Who plays his daughter in that movie? Shailene Woodley? Shailene? I don't know how to say her first name. She plays this girl that he meets, and kind of, you know, they change each other for better and for worse. Saul, isn't it? Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah. Okay,
good old Bob.
I was about to say this is a movie I will never see in my entire life until you mentioned Bob Odenkirk.
See, that's the thing.
He's in the movie for like 2 seconds.
It's on the surface. It's like it's a coming of age sort of. I don't want to say romantic comedy, but there is comedy and it is romance.
But there is drama.
There's also drama. It's a mix of a lot of things.
You would think, you know, a story like this would have been played out.
Yeah,
a bunch of times, but for some reason this seemed fresh.
If it's done right,
I don't know why.
Yeah, it's like those John Hughes movies of the 80s about teenagers and their feelings and just growing up in that time period. I mean, we all go through that time period in our lives, so those are forever universal stories. So it's all about how you dress it up, you know, the music and the style, and then the specifics of the story. This one dealt a lot with divorced parents.
Yes.
You know, that's a very modern thing, much more than the 80s John Hughes stuff. You know, it was very good.
I'll take your word for it.
You know, if you like Serendipity,
I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. I was surprised.
And he's not a sappy, emotional type of, you know.
I don't have any feelings.
But it's quite good. And the only reason I really went and saw it, well, not the only reason. The other reason is that the big movies that came out this weekend are total garbage, but we'll talk about
that later
in a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
Reason I went and saw this was because it came out, well, it played festivals earlier this year, and since it's been playing festivals, I've been hearing people saying this the spectacular now this and the spectacular now that. It's been getting buzz. A lot of people have been really liking it, so that's why it's like we gotta go.
I can understand. It's a likable movie,
so, and it's only playing in 300 screens, and some of them are here in Central Florida, so
well.
If it's playing around you, I say go check it out. I mean, not
I would definitely,
that.
I would definitely agree.
You might be more of a Redbox type of guy with this movie.
I would say so,
but I think you might actually like it though. Like you'd be surprised.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Otherwise, if you want wait for Redbox, but it's worth seeing in a theater. What else we got in the old box office-y?
All right.
Friday estimates that we're doing right away.
Friday estimates at number 9. We have You're Next.
You're Next. How much did that make on Friday?
$1.14 million. So, I know you were a fan of it, sir.
It's not real. Sort of. It was okay. I said it was okay.
I've contributed to that $1.14 million.
Also. Oh, very nice.
Good. My AC was broken on Monday, and it broke late, so that it couldn't get fixed till Tuesday.
Oh,
so
no.
I had to get out of the house. I haven't done this in a long time. I literally went to the movie theater. Like, didn't look anything up, just walked to the front of the theater, and whatever was playing, I was just going to see because I needed to be somewhere with air conditioning.
That's awesome.
Your Next was playing, so I just went in and saw it.
That's awesome.
And it was, man, I loved it.
Yeah?
I thought, well, I mean, I think I've talked to you about this before, but horror, I don't know if horror is my favorite genre, but I do, if it's a horror movie and it looks like it's well done, I'll see it because
right.
I really enjoy horror movies. So I thought this was good because it was it had some scares in it, but I thought it was funny. Like the comedy, the one condescending brother was hilarious.
Yeah, the older guy. Yeah.
And it, you know, it was cheesy, but it worked. And it was creepy, and it was just well done. It kept me entertained. I thought it was a great movie.
Word.
I'd recommend it.
I thought it was okay. Like, if you're a fan of horror movies, if that's your thing, I think there's a lot to like about it. Because, you know, the thing with horror movies is that so many of them get made. Because it's a cheap genre to be able to make movies in. So many of them get made that a lot of them are garbage. So you got to sift through a lot of crap to find something that's good. So, you know, I think it's like comparing to other horror movies, You're Next is like a really, really good movie. But overall, I think it's just okay. It's more like a Redbox type movie for me. And if you're not into movies that are really stabby, because it's kind of a slashery movie, a lot of
it's pretty gory.
It's
pretty gory,
and it's all intimate violence with people like getting screwdrivered in the chest and axe to the face
that,
and stuff.
The wire to the face of that one lady.
Oh, to the throat. Yeesh. Yeah. Hey, oh.
Yeah, and that was out of nowhere too. But you kind of saw it coming when it started going slow motion.
You knew something was gonna happen. Yeah. It's like, what's going to happen?
Yeah,
I thought. Yeah. I don't want to give it away for people I haven't seen yet. It's still in theaters. But yeah, exactly. You knew something was going to happen, but it surprised me what did happen.
I was surprised, though. I went on a Monday night, and there were probably 30 or 40 people in the theater on a Monday night, which is pretty – that's
not
a lot.
Yeah, it's not bad.
And one woman took her five-year-old. The kid looked about five or six. Oh. Like, I was like, man –
bad choice.
This movie is creeping me out. Yeah. This kid's going to be scarred here.
For life.
That's too intense.
He's probably going to be afraid of animal masks forever.
Yeah.
Every Halloween he's going to hide underneath the bed.
Or he's going to grow up to be a killer.
Yeah, maybe.
He'd be like, ooh, that looks like fun. I'm in an impressionable age. I never understand when a parent does that, when they take... I mean, do they just not know? They have no idea what they're walking into. You're next door. That could be anything. Let me take my child to it.
My parents were the exact opposite. I still remember the first PG-13 movie I was allowed to see was Stop or My Mom Will Shoot.
Wow.
We saw it in the theater with my family.
Wow.
I saw Die Hard 2 in theaters.
Nice.
When I was a wee little lad.
Yeah, that's young. You're like 7 or 8 there. No, 9, 10. I saw Die Hard 3 in theaters when I was like 12. I can't remember my first PG-13.
Oh, that was my first rated R movie, and I'll never forget when Bruce Willis took the icicle and stuck it in that dude's eye socket. It was awesome.
Like, whoa.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
Good thing he lives in Florida. No icicles around.
Nowhere.
So you would highly recommend Your Next to People.
Oh, I loved it.
You loved it. I'd say it's okay. Drew hasn't.
I haven't seen it.
He hasn't seen it yet. So, all right, there you go. That's our reviews of Your Next. What's next, Drew?
Number 7, we have that crappy Getaway movie that came out this week.
Which is
nobody cares about.
One of the reasons why I went and saw Spectacular Now. Uh-huh. Then if you like seeing
Getaway, what's Getaway?
That's an Ethan Hawke movie where he's driving a car.
With Selena Gomez.
And Selena Gomez gets in.
John Voight's the bad guy.
John Voight's the voice.
Not even seen an ad for it.
Terrible. You know what it looks like? If you see a commercial for it, because it's all Ethan Hawke wearing a cool jacket, driving a car.
Okay.
And like a voice on the phone is like, I have your wife, you will do what I say,
or
she dies. And then the rest of the trailer is him driving around yelling, I want my wife back, into the car speakerphone. And then Selena Gomez is supposed to be
somehow
a carjacker, and somehow it's stupid.
Bad reviews?
The reviews are pretty poor. It looks like from the trailer someone saw Drive. And like they saw the trailers for Drive, I was like, oh, this looks like a fun action movie. And then they saw Drive and they were disappointed that it was all arty and slow, and they were like, I'm gonna make my version of Drive, which will be like all the cool jackets and the cars and everything, and maybe some electronic music, but it's gonna be all hyper intense action and Fast and Furious-y.
You and I differ on Drive. You loved it.
It's so fantastic.
I thought it had a couple of great moments, but on the whole I was disappointed.
So yeah, this guy then is making the Drive movie that you wanna see. He's making your Drive movie. Some woman sued the filmmakers of Drive.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, because she was like, she thought it was sold as like a Fast and Furious type movie. She shows up and it's this arty movie, so she found some dirtbag lawyer to help her sue the studio.
Seriously?
Yeah.
She lost, right?
I think they just dropped it immediately. After they got their public attention and it went nowhere, they just dropped it before they got countersued for frivolous...
ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous. So Getaway, I don't know. I might wander into a theater in the next week or two if I'm bored and I have some time just to see some of the car stunts, but... it seems like a red box type of thing. All right, what else we got?
This is another one of those weird unlisted ones.
Okay.
The Grandmaster?
Grandmaster!
Finally came out?
Yes.
Never heard of any of these movies that you guys
The Grandmaster
I'm
is
a
the
great guest this week. I literally have nothing to add to any of these titles.
We just talked about Your Next. What are you talking about? You just gave us the Your Next review.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? You're good to go. Well, Grandmaster, we got to tell you about that one. What do you got for Grandmaster over there?
$740,000.
How many screens?
How many screens?
I think it's like 800 screens.
749.
Yeah. Not a lot of people are seeing this movie. It's a kung fu film made by the guy, the Chinese film I was talking Wong Kar Wai.
There is very much.
So that's like $1,000 a screen.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
$1,000 a screen.
Not too hot.
Yep.
Not too hot. They're hoping for more like 15,000 to 20,000 a screen. Ah. So it's a good movie, though.
So it's a bomb. You need a sound effect so whenever something bombs, you can be like...
poor Wong Kar Wai. Got bombed.
Oh, man.
But I
too
mean,
much longing.
The thing is, though, that movie wasn't made to make money here in America. It's a full 100% Chinese movie.
Yeah,
you
totally.
Know, it, I mean, it's made to make its money over there. If it does good, if it makes any money here, it's all bonus. Mm. That just makes the Weinsteins happy because they're the ones that picked up for distribution.
It's definitely a very Eastern movie.
Very, very Eastern. It's all about a historical figure, a man who's been credited with really uniting all the kung fu styles in China under one roof, and he's the real life like a teacher of a young Bruce Lee, and they hammer that point home at the end. Really,
yeah.
It's really ridiculous. His name's it's spelled Ip Man, I-P M-A-N, so it looks like he's a superhero, Ip
yeah.
Man. But I don't know how they pronounce it. It's like, yep, mom, something like that.
Something else.
It's hard to hear, you know, because they are talking Chinese.
Yes.
And all that stuff is Chinese to me.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
But this one is because they've made tons and tons of movies about this character. He's a real-life historical figure, so they've made hundreds of movies about him, and a lot of them are
have
like
turned
just,
him into a superhero, pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah, they have turned him into a superhero. Some came out recently called Ip Man and Ip Man 2, and he's like fighting back the Japanese invasion of 1938 all by himself. Like he's taking on the entire army and he's kicking cannonballs and stuff, and it's absurd. This one is a little more like, all right, he's just a badass kung fu master who goes around. He gets challenged by a lot of different masters.
Oh yeah,
movie.
He does.
He fights like 10 different kung fu style guys. And but then the other half of the movie is about him, like he has his wife, but he lost her, and then there's this other lady, and they long for each other, but they can't be together because she made a vow, and he's too, you know, kind of
kung fu-y.
He's too kung fu-y. He's too into his kung fu. It's Wong Kar Wai. It's what he does. It's a lot of slow motion stuff. There's one scene.
The slow motion, I usually don't mind Wong Kar Wai's slow motion.
Yeah.
But it was all shaky cam slow motion.
Some of
this
it was
time,
like the.
And it made me angry.
Yeah. So
I hate it when they do shaky cam on action scenes like that.
Yeah. Some of that was that like weird.
Because I really wanted to see, you know, the intricacies of the moves. And when it's all shaky, you can't. It's just.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a. Was that a foot? I think that was a foot.
Some of that was slightly disappointing. But I thought overall it was what I expected from this guy. It's an arty kung fu movie.
Definitely.
With a lot of longing for love.
Yes. Lots of love longing.
It should have been called Kung Fu for Love.
Yes, exactly.
That might have got more people out there
yes.
in the theaters. So, I mean, if you like kung fu movies or foreign movies, you know, something interesting and different. Or love movies with fisticuffs. And chop sake action. The Grandmaster. Check it out.
Yeah.
It's good. Otherwise,
it was fun.
Redbox it, you know, fall asleep during it because it does get a little slow.
Oh, yeah, it does. All
right, what else we got?
Well, number five this week, Elysium. $1.575 million.
You got to
see
it.
1.5.
Well, because it's for
Friday estimate.
Okay, but gotcha. Still, it's only going to make like $3.5 million this weekend. Labor Day weekend is traditionally the second to worst weekend of the year.
Gotcha.
But Elysium, man, it's not making enough money. It's only at like
73.6.
Yeah.
I've heard very mixed reviews for this movie.
I
have a couple friends that have seen it. I have one friend that loved it, one friend that said it was so stupid that
people explode.
Yeah, I don't get it. A lot of people don't like it.
They literally explode.
And yeah, there are a lot of
like 10 people explode in that movie.
Well, you've seen District 9.
Yeah.
And I remember how people exploded in that one when they got people in
same
this
way.
One, same way, they like pop like balloons, like blood balloons.
Wow.
I hope this director, for the rest of his career, no matter what type, if he makes romantic comedies, if
people have to pop like red balloons.
If he makes like a legal drama, you know, it all takes place in courtrooms, at some point someone has to explode.
Yes, I agree.
Like really fast.
Yeah, know? I want to see Elite. I mean, it looks really good. So
I think you would like it.
I really enjoyed
it.
I
just, like I said, I mean, I just haven't gotten a chance. Like if that was what was playing when I was in the theater, that I would have seen Elysium. This week.
You did movie roulette?
Yep.
Yeah, hey. Well, at least you're happy. Ended up being happy with what you saw. You could have ended up seeing, what's the next movie?
Planes.
You could have ended up seeing Planes.
No,
number four movie of the weekend, Planes.
$1.7 million, total of $64.8.
So,
even for like a Disney kids movie, that looks terrible.
Yeah.
But they just think that Cars was so popular that Planes would just be the same.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, what also happened was Planes, Cars is Pixar.
Oh,
right.
And Planes is Disney.
Planes is Disney.
I thought Disney owned Pixar.
They do own Pixar, but they're still separate animation divisions. Like, Pixar is still its own animation thing. Disney just owns them.
Huh.
Just like Disney owns Marvel Studios. And Marvel, they can do what they want, but, I mean, Disney is their evil overlord.
Yes.
So in this one, it's like, well, we have the rights to Cars, so we're going to make a Cars spinoff sequel, Planes, with our animation department. Cost them like a fraction of what Pixar movies are, like $200 million. Planes only cost them $50
million. Oh, so it's not... Yeah.
And it was actually intended to be one of their direct-to-video releases. And then they were like, well, maybe this will make some money in the theater. And they put it out, and it really hasn't.
Yeah, whatever.
They screw them.
It's hurting their brand. They hurt their brand when they do that.
They do. They do. And they keep saying Disney's planes, Disney's planes. But, I mean, that's...
Pixar's name is nowhere near it.
But I think it's still going to reflect a little poorly on Pixar just because people don't really pay attention. People mix up Pixar movies and Madagascar, DreamWorks movies.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Those are all the same to me. I don't know which is which, so it's all...
And there are. Each studio does have, like, pretty distinct differences in the way they approach filmmaking and their movies. But, I mean, yeah, a lot of people just lump them all together. It's all just... all just cartoons.
Toy Story is Pixar, right?
Yes.
And those are kind of considered the benchmark for all animation.
For American animation, pretty much global animation, yeah.
I've only seen the first Toy Story.
Oh, they're all great.
Yeah, I heard 3 was the best.
I think 3 is my favorite. The thing is, if you go back and watch Toy Story now, because it came out like 1994, the animation is very like polygony, digital blocky. Like you can tell it's like very infant stages of digital animation. Very crude looking.
I still haven't watched Up again since the first time I saw it. That's the most emotional a cartoon's ever made me in my life.
Dude, the first half hour of that makes you want to cry.
Well, the first five minutes, it's amazing how they gave you such an emotional full story of this couple from their childhood until she dies.
Brilliantly done. I mean, the movie it's hard to watch, you know?
Yeah. And like this is for kids. Yeah. I mean, what are you doing? You're wrecking these kids' childhoods. Not really. You're probably enriching them. Planes. Don't see planes.
Yeah. We spent way too much time talking about planes.
What's number 3, Drew?
Number 3 this week. We're the Millers had a Friday estimated $3.13 million, total of $100 million.
I can't believe it's at $100 million.
I don't know. I think it looks kind of funny. I like Jason Sudeikis. Like
Sudeikis is cool.
The premise is kind of whatever, but you know, comedy Sudeikis style. I mean, I'm sure there's some laughs in it. Did you see it?
Nope.
You guys didn't see it?
I haven't seen it yet. It came out on a weekend where like Elysium came out that week, and I was on a family vacation, so I was like, I'm just going to go see Elysium. Gotcha.
Yeah, I want to see this, though. I'll bet you it's funnier than you think.
It probably is, but it doesn't mean I'm going to pay $6.50 to see it in theaters.
I might Redbox it. Mm-hmm. And since it's at $100 million, it doesn't need our money at this point. We'll get Weird Millers, too, I'm sure, because $100 million for... How much does this movie make? Cost?
Idea.
It costs $37 million, so...
So Sudeikis is going to start getting some major comedy roles.
Yeah, he's going to start getting more stuff. I mean, he's been getting chances, too. He was in that Fairly Brothers movie, Hall Pass, which stunk.
I didn't like that movie either.
He was in a Horrible Bosses, which was good.
And
he
was, it was okay.
I thought
Horrible Bosses was hilarious.
That was a summer where there were like 6 R-rated comedies that came out, and that was probably one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
And I've caught it a couple of times on
just
HBO
Charlie Day. Always Sunny starts in a couple of days, but Charlie Day is just hilarious.
You're a big Charlie Day fan. Charlie Day is good in Pacific Rim. You haven't seen Pacific Rim yet, have you?
No,
and it's pretty much out of theaters now too.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to, and I wanted to see that so bad too. I haven't had the time to get out to the movies lately.
Yeah. Busy summer for Matt. All right, so what else we got outside of Weird and Millers? Because none of us saw.
Yeah, number 2, Lee Daniels, The Butler, had a Friday estimate of $3.6 million.
Now, I know Matt's going to run out to go see The Butler.
I talked about how much I like horror. My least favorite genre of
biopics.
Movies are these, like, whether they're period or biopics about, like, a guy that doesn't, nothing really happens to him.
Like and the King's Speech style?
The King's Speech was the dumbest best picture ever. That movie was like torture sitting through that thing.
That's
I almost didn't even finish it. Like Lincoln, I'll never see that.
I fell asleep during Lincoln.
I'm trying to think of some more though. Although I actually thought Ray was decent. I kind of liked Ray, and I don't like those movies. But like all that stuff, even the Johnny Cash one. I love Johnny Cash, and I only thought that movie was all right.
Well, yeah, I thought that one could have been better as well.
But Johnny Cash is like one of my favorite artists of all time.
So you should have sucked you right in, and it didn't do it.
I didn't hate it, but like I just, you know, it's like I don't know. Nothing ever happens. It's like just a period, and that's I don't
just
care.
Just a telling of someone's life story.
The Butler, I will never see. No chance of me ever seeing the Butler.
The Butler is also about the entire civil rights movement, so you get like Selma protest and marching on Washington.
No interest in that.
It's very long-winded.
If during the Butler. The White House down plot broke out, so that they had this. That what's his name? Forrest Whitaker had to save the White House.
I like it.
I'm in.
I like it.
And I actually saw that movie, the one with Gerard Butler.
Olympus has Fallen.
Yes.
And didn't you watch that one too? Or
no, I haven't seen it yet.
What did you think of that one?
It was dumber than I thought it was going to be.
Dumber than
I was. I was hoping for a little. I realize it's, you know, cheesy action, yeah. Which is I like, which I wanted, but I was hoping for a little more.
Still too dumb.
It was pretty dumb.
White House Down. Have you seen that one yet? The Jamie Foxx, Channing Tatum one?
Jamie Foxx has a chrome rocket launcher.
And White House Down is dumber than Olympus Has Fallen, but it's not trying to pretend that it's not dumber.
Oh, no.
It's a Roland Emmerich movie, so it's embracing what it's all about. It's bold-faced stupidity is what makes it fun.
Doesn't he, like, quote his own movie in it? What was he talking about?
He does.
Independence Day.
He references Independence Day. Someone's like, they're taking a tour of the White House, and the guy's giving a tour, and it's like,
this is what they blew up in Independence Day.
This place is famous for being blown up in Independence Day.
It's like, oh, you made that movie, too!
It's like, so cheesy.
Yeah. Independence Day was good, though. Wait, did you see The Butler, either of you guys?
Yeah, we both saw it. It was good. I thought it was.
It's a little long-winded.
It's long, but you're also trying to get 70, 80 years of American history into a slightly over two-hour movie.
Is that Oscar? Like, are they going to get Oscars?
Oh, yeah. He's going to get nods
Whitaker's
for it.
Whitaker's getting nominated. Oprah's getting nominated for sure.
Probably the guy who played the kid, too.
What did Oprah play in it? David Oyelowo.
Oprah played the butler's wife.
Oh.
And it's a very important role. She's in, like, the entire movie.
And she's good?
Yeah, she is good.
She's Oprah.
Considering she's not an actress. Mm-hmm. I mean, she hasn't been in a movie in 15 years. I thought she did pretty good. Mm-hmm. There's one scene where she gives a speech, like, Forrest Whitaker's laying in bed, and he's kind of depressed or whatever. And Oprah's, like, putting on... She's, like, drunk, and she's putting on lipstick really sloppily. And she's giving this crazy speech about, like, how he ain't no one and all this. Like, getting on him. And it's kind of an intense little scene. So actually, I wouldn't be surprised if that's the one. Unless they find something more inspirational. That'll be the scene where they go and nominate Oprah Winfrey.
Yeah, exactly. Show her. Yeah, totally.
And then they cut to Oprah. Everyone's typing. Yeah. And then she smiles.
Like, lead or supporting actress?
Lead actress.
That's lead. Okay.
Yeah, because it's the biggest female role in the film for sure. I think it's good. If you're into biopic movies or even, as I think I mentioned this last week, I read that these type of movies are called Why We Be Black movies, like The Color Purple and Beloved. Because it's about the Black Civil Rights Movement and what it's like to be black in America from 1920s through the present, through 2008 pretty much. And it's good. People born like in the 90s, they need to see this movie.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Because they're too far separated from the atrocities. They got to be reminded.
Yes.
Like, why is everything so shitty now? Because this is where we come from.
But see, I don't want movies to... show me atrocities and bring me down. Well, I want Jason Sudeikis smuggling drugs in an RV, maybe aliens, maybe the White House blows up.
Fair enough.
That's what I want when I go to the movie.
I will say that this movie does end with a joke.
Yes, it does.
You know, it's not trying to like wipe you out and take you down. There's humor. There's actually a lot of humor in it. His butler buddies are played by Lenny Kravitz and Cuba Gooding Jr. Cuba Gooding Jr. is introduced telling a dirty joke or a dirty story or something. So,
man, where's he been since Jerry Maguire?
Right, doing a lot of direct-to-video stuff.
Yep.
Shadowboxer.
Oh, boy.
He's great in that movie, too.
Oh, boy. And the number one movie is for the weekend.
Oh, dude, your favorite. I know you've been waiting for this forever. I mean, I know. Dude, you skipped work to go see this movie.
Right.
The first showing.
Right.
One Direction, This Is Us.
Oh, man.
$8.9 million.
So it's going to have like an $18 million weekend. Good for them. New movies coming out on DVD this week. Now You See Me, the Magician movie with Jesse Eisenberg.
Oh, I heard that was good.
It was not. I mean, it was okay.
Redbox it.
It.
Now's the time to Redbox it.
Redbox it.
Now's the time to see it.
Redbox it.
Sharknado comes out on DVD. In case people haven't had enough of that movie, they can watch it whenever they want. The Lords of Salem is a Rob Zombie horror movie that didn't get much attention.
Was it good?
I think it got okay reviews.
I don't like Rob Zombie's movies.
You guys didn't see it?
I didn't see it.
I don't like Rob Zombie's movies. He makes crappy movies.
It's also supposed to be very different from all his other movies. Are very intense, kind of gory.
Yeah.
This one's supposed to be more like a movie about witches and stuff.
I saw House of a Thousand Corpses, which is real weird and creepy.
It is. Devil's Rejects is along the same lines.
You know, I still haven't seen it. And that's just one of those I've been meaning to see, but I just haven't gotten around to
Halloween time. October. Rent it. Check it out.
Yeah,
I mean, if you like horror movies.
I do.
He has such a distinct style that even if you don't like his movies, at least you know you're watching a Rob Zombie movie.
Yeah.
He's willing to push that envelope and be like... I mean, the dude knows horror. He grew up on that stuff.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'll probably check out Lords of Salem then.
And then we also got the Iceman, the Michael Shannon movie where he plays the hitman.
Can't wait to see that.
Yeah, that looks pretty good. Some, remember that documentary we saw at the Florida Film Festival? A documentary about these guys, the sommeliers.
Yeah, taking their master sommeliers exam.
I always want to say sommeliers.
Whoa, fucking crazy.
These guys are taking their master sommeliers exam, which is like the hardest exam in the world for anything ever in the history of time, apparently. And we follow four guys as they study for it for a year, and then they take the test, and it's good stuff.
It's the type of movie
where at the end, towards the end of the movie, people were like clapping and applauding, or they were being sad when they were reading the results of these people's their testing scores.
So it's a movie about a guy studying for a test.
Documentary.
It's about a couple guys.
Thrilling. I can't.
It's actually quite good.
I'll double feature that and The Butler. That's a Saturday right there.
And there's some direct-to-video movie with The Rock and Liam Hemsworth coming out called Empire State.
Sweet.
Looks pretty stupid.
Thor's brother.
What's come out in theaters?
Coming out in theaters this weekend, we have Riddick, the next installment in the Vin Diesel. Nonsense.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Hey, Carl Urban's in it again.
I loved Pitch Black.
Pitch Black is great. Yes. And this looks more like Pitch Black
than Chronicles.
I'll see it on on demand. I'm not going to rush to the theater for it, but I'll watch it.
It's really the only thing coming out next weekend. Because the other thing coming out is a Salinger documentary.
Yes, which I really, after seeing these previews, I really want to see it.
It's a good trailer, yeah. So if it's playing around here, we'll definitely check out the documentary about the elusive author of The Catcher in the Rye. It's a fantastic book. You ever read Catcher in the Rye?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. High school. I think everybody does.
Yeah, right?
Everybody has to.
It's almost like required reading. It's like the only non-required reading out there.
Yeah.
That and Gatsby.
Gatsby was such a... I never read that book.
I love the Gatsby book.
I didn't read. I read the first chapter and was like, I don't care about these rich pricks.
Yeah, they are obnoxious people. But it works differently in a book than it does on a movie. In movie form, it's like
it was god awful.
Because in the book, you're following the cousin character who's like observing everything with Daisy and Gatsby. And it's different in the movie when you're following him. You're like, why am I following this weird voyeuristic weirdo around?
I read an article about how hard that book is to convert to a movie. And how crazy what's his name is that wrote it, whose name is escaping me right now.
F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Around
the time when he wrote that book, I can't remember the name of his wife, but they were
Ella Fitzgerald.
No. Hi-yo. They were considered like the crazy socialites of their day.
Yes,
you know, they just booze it up.
They were like the first American tabloid couple.
Pretty much they couple. Were just like they, and that's why like he kept trying to write more interesting books after that, but he never could recapture because they ran out of money because they just drank everything they got from all the money. And they
go in a club, there's like, burr, 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 you know,
they're just stories like about these nutso parties they would have where people would just, you know, like passed out on the lawn and everything. But awesome. That was in the 20s, and that's like people didn't really behave that way.
Yeah, that was a lot outlandish. Or maybe they did, and we just don't know about it because they didn't have YouTube and Facebook.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break because we got so much to talk about in the Crespo Dome. I got one song for you guys in a Crespo Disco, but it's a long one. Did you see Black Dynamite, the movie, Matt? You got to see Black Dynamite.
Oh,
man.
It's so good.
No, you haven't seen it?
I've seen Dolomite.
Black Dynamite is it's like the spoof, sort of the spoof homage version of Dolomite.
Well.
It's really, really funny. And
I threw that shit before I came in the room.
There's a thing throughout the movie where whenever Black Dynamite like kicks down a door, comes through a wall, it goes Dynamite, Dynamite. That's from a 7-minute song called Dynamite by a dude called Sir Charles Hughes. And I'm gonna play that for everyone right now. So you all enjoy this song, and then we'll be back with the Crespo Dome in a few minutes.
Your kiss sure enough, dynamite.
Dynamite, dynamite. Dynamite, dynamite. Just like dynamite, when we kiss.
your sight. Because of this, I kissed you. Just like dynamite. When we kiss, my heart explodes.
Welcome to the Questoco.
Welcome back to the second half of episode 34 of Cinema Crespo Diso. It is me, Christopher Crespo, with Drew Cogburn. Drew?
I'm still here.
And Matt, Kevin Matt.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Matty Ice, A.K.A. Just Matt. How's it going, dude?
Oh, man. Splendid.
Starting to feel a little better. Got some water in you?
Yeah. Feel like $1 million over here.
We're sitting here kind of in the dark. Didn't turn any lights on.
Thankfully, yes.
Keep the lights low, keep the music soft.
Yeah, that's like, yeah, gotta, you know, hangover.
Nobody yell.
Hangover cure. No one yell. Nobody yell! Let's get the plugs out of the way, because I like to get the plugs done first. A lot of shows I can do the plugs at the end, but I don't think people listen to the end all the time. So
nobody listens to the end.
So let's get the plugs
out. I don't
out
even
right
listen
now.
To the end.
Drew doesn't listen to the end. So Drew, get your plugs out.
Antihair419, Twitter and Instagram.
And I guess that's it.
Yeah.
For now.
Yeah.
Matt, tell people about yourself. Nobody can.
Sure. Yeah. Just you know, you can hit me up on Twitter at @MattIsCabin, on Instagram at @MatthewIce.
Matthew Ice.
You know, email me mattcabinmatt@gmail.com.
For what's the best deal you got? Investment wise, for money and property.
Man, this.
What are you featuring on? What do you want to feature on the Cinema Crespo Diso?
Yeah, we got a. It's like a almost 2,000 square foot 3-2 in Winter Park, the 32789, the nice Winter Park.
Nice.
We're selling it for $289,000, and you know, it's worth about $500,000. So
wow, $289,000 cash.
Yeah. Now you got. I mean, you got to put some serious elbow grease into this bad boy, but it's.
Oh, really?
Now,
really.
But that's what we do.
All right. Well, there you go. And isn't there a website? What's
You know what? Email mattcabinmatt@gmail.com. That's the easiest way. And
there
I can,
you
know, the inventory, it just changes so frequently and so quickly
that's a good sign though for the economy and the local economy and all that. It's good.
It's hard for us to keep our website up to date. So.
But there is a very high inventory, like still turning over through foreclosures and stuff, right? So there's still constantly new things coming on to the market.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so there you go. On Twitter, I am @IamChrisCrespo. Then the show is @CrespoDiso, Facebook.com/CinemaCrespoDiso, Instagram.com/CinemaCrespoDiso. Go to ChrisCrespo.com for everything. And I do mean everything. ChrisCrespo.com. All right, so we got some movie news. I got some polling information. Got questions, Crespo Dome battles, rumors about casting. Got a lot to get into. So I'm going to start with this. We were talking about biopics, biography movies.
Yes.
Not exactly your cup of tea,
Not
say.
Exactly.
And, you know, I'm kind of with you where I'm not into biopics that are like, you know, even though Ray is a good movie. Right, I think Ray kind of killed this. The whole, it show you the story of a person from when they were young to when they're old. Here's the greatest hits of their life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like something that's more like. I'm trying to think of a good recent example. Well, what they want to do with the Steve Jobs movie, with Aaron Sorkin's Steve Jobs movie, instead of telling Steve Jobs' whole life like they just did with the Ashton Kutcher movie, he's doing a movie in three parts. It's like three 30-minute segments. And each segment is about the 30 minutes leading up to three different presentations made by Steve Jobs. The first one was for the first time he presented the Mac, an Apple computer or something at a convention. So the 30 minutes leading up to that. Then the second part of the movie is the 30 minutes leading up to him debuting his company Next or whatever, that thing that he did in the 90s. That was a pretty big deal. And then the third final segment is the 30 minutes leading up to him unveiling the iPhone or the iPad. One of the two.
Okay.
For the very first time.
Did you say Sorkin's doing it?
Yeah, Sorkin's writing it.
So it's going to be all that fast-talking over.
Oh, yeah.
Man. It's going to be all...
It's so good,
I mean, I like Sorkin, but sometimes that's not... I don't know. Sometimes that gets a little bit...
Yeah, it's... you notice it. You notice that the way they're talking
because,
is stylized.
Because people... don't talk that quickly and that intelligent.
No.
You don't have... You don't say something and have such an intelligent comeback that you're getting out before the person's even finished with the insult because you're talking over them. I mean...
It's style.
It's...
And it
works sometimes, though. It does.
You gotta be really good. And Sorkin is very good.
Do you do you watch The Newsroom, Matt?
Yeah, I do.
Sweet.
Like it, don't love it.
It's okay.
I really,
he likes it a lot.
I really like Just the Will McAvoy character.
I'm more of a Sports Night guy.
Sports Night was awesome.
But,
that was cool.
But without the laugh track. I hate those early episodes with the laugh track. Those are the worst. I bring that up because the guy who just starred in the Jackie Robinson movie, 42, which was really, I guess, just about his baseball career, mm-hmm. which is, you know, one way to...
Another biopic that is alleged... that movie...
Was apparently
Was very bad, I'm told. Cheesy.
I heard it was very movie of the week.
Yeah.
It didn't really get too deep into it, into the story and the possibilities that story has. But that guy that played Jackie Robinson, Chadwick Boseman... Who that's a funny name, Chadwick. Chadwick Boseman, who I don't think he got any bad reviews. People thought he was fine enough and as Jackie Robinson. He just landed another biopic, this time for James Brown.
Whoa.
So the guy who played the quietly courageous and stoic and, you know, Jackie Robinson is now playing the outlandish and hyperactive and
wild and crazy
and charismatic James Brown. So that'll be interesting to see if this guy can really pull it off. That'll be a test to see if he's actually a really good actor. Who knows? Chadwick Boseman. We might be talking about this guy in serious terms on the road.
Chadwick Boseman.
We might still be laughing
about
his
name. The Oscar goes to Chadwick Boseman.
And then everyone giggles while they're clapping.
Man, if we could get Oscars to Chadwick Boseman and Benedict Cumberbatch
yes.
in the same Oscars, that'd be so awesome.
The Boseman Cumberbatch Oscar fiasco of 2017. Fast and Furious news.
Oh, yeah. Now we're talking. Now you're...
Hey, I'm actually quite excited about this as well.
Hey, I'm looking forward to this one because we all saw the last one.
Yeah.
Right? It's pretty well known now that the movie ends with a stinger about Jason Statham being set up as the villain for the next movie for Fast and Furious
Which will
7.
Be the last one.
That's what they were saying, but not anymore. These
nice.
Movies are making too much money for them to stop.
Oh,
which was... You
yes.
can see that coming from a mile
oh,
away.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting closer and closer to $1 billion with each release. So, it looks like they might be continuing this new tradition. They're going to start something new now of debuting the next movie's villain with a little stinger at the end of each movie.
Okay.
All right. So, there's already a rumor casting. They originally wanted Denzel Washington to be the
next crazy
the Fast
bad
and the
guy.
Furious 8 bad guy.
Ooh, that would have been...
And then there would have been a scene with him at the very end of 7, revealing, oh, snap, it's Denzel Washington.
That would have been awesome.
Scheduling conflicts, though, couldn't make that happen. Denzel wanted to do it, but he was just finishing one huge movie, and he was like, I can't work for like 8 years in a row. I'm an old man. So they got another old man who I think is still awesome. They're working on it. It's not confirmed yet. Kurt Russell.
Oh,
wow.
Nice.
Stuntman Mike himself from Death Proof. Thing. Yeah. So
he's always Snake Plissken to me.
Snake Plissken.
Always Snake.
So it looks like if they have their way, he will be the main villain of Fast and Furious 8. And if they have their way, they will keep making these movies for a very long time with new, bigger, crazier villains each time out.
Awesome.
I don't know if they'll ever be able to exhaust that franchise the way they're going. It's pretty wild. Pretty crazy also. Speaking of franchises and villains... Avengers 2.
Age of Ultron.
I've heard about this, Matt.
Nope.
They announced the villain for the next Avengers movie.
I thought it was the Thanos.
That guy is going to be in the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, which is a whole different Marvel thing.
I don't even want to get it.
It's going to have a raccoon with a rocket launcher and Chris Pratt from...
Oh,
snap.
Here we go.
It's time for some Juice of Cogburn versus the world, Matt.
Are you ready, Matt?
All right.
If you remember, what was episode 11? Goodness gracious, that was a long time ago. Episode 11, you were the first one to take on... Were you the first one, or was Angel the first one?
I can't remember.
I think you were the very first one to take on Drew in Juice of Cogburn versus the world. Drew lost last week to Angel.
Yes, I did.
Okay.
So that puts him...
Terrible. 4-6.
Drew is 4-6.
Oh,
losing record.
Competition. He has a losing record right now. So I got right here. No other eyes have looked at these except for mine.
Okay.
This week's game of DC beats hashtag DCVTW. here we go. I folded up pretty tight. DCVTW, this week's game is called What Country Am I From? I'm going to name the movie. You tell me the country in which it was filmed.
Oh, boy.
So, for example, obviously, you know, if I tell you the movie is Popeye, everyone knows Popeye was filmed in Malta. So, no.
Right.
We
all know this.
So, Angel won last week.
Did we just shout it out or what?
No. Here's what it is. I have two sets of five movies.
Okay.
I have set A and set B. Angel won last week, which means winner takes out. Matt, you get to choose which set do you want, A or B. Pick your poison.
I'll take A.
You'll take A. All right. So, I'm going to give you five movies.
Yeah.
And then Drew will take B. All right. So, here we go.
Okay. Good.
Number one. In what movie was this filmed? The 2005 version of King Kong. King Kong.
Boy, that was in 05. Man, it seems like it was more recent than that.
Doesn't it? Isn't that crazy?
I thought so too. Man, these are all going to be just blind guesses. I'm going to say country or continent?
Country.
Man, it looked kind of... we'll go with Brazil.
Ooh, that is incorrect. King Kong was filmed in New Zealand.
Ah, yikes.
New Zealand. Peter Jackson, you know, he did the movie. That's where he's from. He does all his movies over there. Number two, what movie was this filmed? What country was this movie filmed in? What country was Brokeback Mountain filmed in?
America.
Ooh, it's incorrect. Canada.
Oh,
it's actually filmed in the Canadian Rockies. It does take place in America, but it was filmed in Canada. Number three, what country did they film this movie in? Another remake, the 2010 version of The Karate Kid.
Japan?
Ooh, I'm sorry. You made that in China.
I was going to say China, but it seemed too obvious.
It was in China, even though karate is Japanese.
Too obvious.
And he fights kung fu in a movie. It's still called The Karate Kid. Number four, what movie? I keep saying that. What country was this movie made in?
I
keep saying that. Man on Fire. Speaking of Denzel Washington.
USA. Gotta be.
That was in Mexico.
Dancing all around it.
All right, so you got one left, Matt. If you got to get this one right, or else you're going to go 0 for 5. You ready?
Yeah.
What country was this movie made in? The Amazing Spider-Man. The most recent one, The Amazing Spider-Man.
I'm just going to keep, because one of these has to be USA, so I'm just going to go USA.
USA is correct.
Good job, dude.
Thank God.
1 for 5.
That was awesome.
All right. Okay, here we go. Drew, you ready?
Yeah, yeah.
What movie was this in the country in which? Eyes Wide Shut. Name the country.
France.
England.
Ooh, close.
Number two. Old Boy.
South Korea.
That is correct.
Oh.
Number three, The Great Gatsby. We were talking about Great Gatsby.
Canada.
Oh, Australia.
I knew that too.
I don't know. I think this one might be kind of easy.
I knew that.
I think this one's pretty easy. Number four, Lost in Translation.
Japan.
Yes. That's correct. And number five, First Blood. The first Rambo movie.
I know. I'm trying to think.
Just letting people out there know. Maybe some people out there don't know that there was a Rambo movie that's called First Blood.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the States, although it was probably Canada.
Should have gone with Canada.
Oh, I knew it too. Anytime I see that northern forest, it's like, man, cause it's cheaper to film that stuff in Canada.
Somewhere in Canada. So Matt got 1 out of 5. Drew 2 out of 5. Drew,
there you go.
Drew finally wins.
Ha-ha.
It's been a little while.
You did not get your revengeance.
And I did have a tiebreaker. The tiebreaker question was going to be closest to the pin. Karate Kid in 1984 made $90.8 million in the United States. How much did the Karate Kid remake make in the United States in 2010? Closest to the pin... Drew, what do you got?
75.
75.
I was going to say 111.
$176 million.
Woo, wow.
So, damn.
So you take mine and his and add them together, and it's a little bit closer.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, pretty much. There you go. Good game, guys. Well done. Congratulations.
All right.
Back to Avengers.
Yeah.
Avengers 2, Ultron.
Yes.
Drew, quickly explain who this guy is.
This is the bad guy.
Ultron, super villain.
The main bad guy.
Cyborg.
He's a robot dude of some sort.
Robot cyborg thing.
Who's playing him?
They just announced who's playing. Actually, who's playing his voice? Because it's going to probably be. He's a robot, so it'll be some sort of CG character. James Spader.
Why do I know the name?
Wow, Spader. That's really weird.
He was in Less Than Zero with Robert De Niro back in the day. He was just... Well, he slept through Lincoln. He was in Lincoln. He was in Secretary, Sex Lies, and
Boston
Videotape.
Boston Legal, right?
Yes,
TV show.
Yes, Boston Legal. If you pull up his picture on
that
Google...
That is a weird choice.
You recognize
that
him right away. Isn't it a weird choice?
Wow.
But it's just his voice, too. But yeah, I don't know. What are they going for exactly that? They're like...
He's not very menacing.
Or yeah, he's more creepy than menacing. He's a creepo. Not so much a menacing type of guy.
What's his name?
James Spader.
Spader.
He's your voice of your Avengers villain, who's just going to be some sort of robot. Big whoop. Doesn't sound
that
exciting.
Guy.
See, I told you he saw his picture. He'd be like, that guy. That guy. And now he's like...
Really?
Now he's kind of old and fat. See, now it's singing for Drew, too. Yep.
Really?
Really?
That guy, he's the voice of...
No.
Maybe the robot ties his voice, put a little auto-tune on it, so he'll talk like a robot. Something weird. Like that. Yeah. All right, well, that's all your like weird casting movie news. Publicpolicypolling.com. Have you guys heard of this website?
No.
Publicpolicypolling.com. Not only is it a tongue twister, but it is an organization that they just do a lot of national polling.
Okay.
And they've been ranked consistently for years as one of the top national polling organizations in the country. Extremely accurate, especially in terms of the presidential elections. All right, so as a barometer.
Okay.
They just did a movie poll.
Uh-huh.
And the first day worth the results of their movie poll came out, 803 people participated. And we got some interesting stats here that I'm running by you guys.
Okay.
And some of these we can kind of, you know how I like to game things up here. Yeah. So... first, real quick, talk about America. It's Americans. Obviously, we're talking about people in America. The percentage of Americans who go to the movies at least once a month is 27%.
That's it?
About a third of the country goes to the movies at least once a month.
That sounds about right.
41%, closer to half, go a few times a year.
I think that's about me. I probably see about four or five movies a year.
Yes, that's a few times a year. And then 32% say they almost never or they never go.
But like maybe just one to or the two. Theater?
To the theater, well, to the movie theater.
Some people just aren't into movies.
Right.
Which I've found. It's just, I always find very odd.
Yeah, some people just are into other things. Into music or books or tattoos or motorcycles or horseback riding or basket weaving or
all that sounds awesome.
Or
but
framing.
But I can still like
movies. I'm not done. Or bowling or darts. I'm not done. Or drinking, or heroin use, or rock climbing, or hang gliding, or... Okay, I'm done.
Actually, I'm pretty sure heroin users watch a lot of movies.
They sleep through a lot of movies. That's what they do. Yeah, that is true. So, in relation to that, the top five ways Americans do see their movies...
Download.
Streaming, Netflix streaming, number two. 22% of people watch their movies mainly through Netflix streaming.
Blockbuster Video.
Number five, store rentals.
Really?
Obviously, it used to be really high, but 8% of respondents say they still use
that
store
rentals.
What about illegal downloading?
I wouldn't even know where to rent a movie if I wanted to.
Illegal downloading. Only 2% of respondents admitted to illegal downloading.
Redbox,
it's criminal. Redbox. Number four, kiosks.
Oh.
So, okay, yes, 11% of people... get their movie via Redbox.
On demand? Is that same as Netflix?
I think
House on demand?
Actually, I'll put that under streaming.
Okay.
Because you're streaming it. So we're still missing number one and number three. We were just talking about
one buying DVDs from a store?
No, that's not in the top five. No one's buying DVDs. What were we just talking about? What are people doing less and less?
Going to the movies?
Going to the theater. Number three, 19% of people say they prefer to see their movies in theaters.
So how do you, I don't even know what's left for how
seriously.
The
seriously.
Good old reliable television, guys.
Oh, 30, really?
39% of people
wait for TV.
Just watch their movies whenever they come across them on TV.
That is
so
bizarre.
Bad.
It's lazy.
Not the way
is.
To watch a movie.
That's the way
it
people
gets
do.
Edited for everything.
Right.
And the commercials in between.
Now, they probably count HBO and stuff like that, too. But, yeah, I'm thinking stuff like effects and TV.
Yeah. That's weird. Yeah.
Part of the reason why, you know, the Conan show on TBS, they do Monday through Thursday, and Monday through Friday was never even on the table with TBS. It's not like Conan wanted to do 4 days a week. TBS said, we want to pay you to do 4 days a week.
Yeah.
And he was like, fine, great. Mm-hmm. The reason they did that is because apparently they still do a movie. They've always done a movie on Friday nights. Because going back to the 80s, TBS was considered like a poor man's HBO.
Okay.
You know, if you got at least cable, but without HBO, TBS will still throw you some movies up. And they're known for putting on movies on Friday. And apparently it still does enough ratings that they're like, we're not bumping our movie for Conan.
All right.
Crazy.
So people still do it. The top seven film genres. What are Americans' favorite film genres? Top seven.
Comedy.
One at a time. Comedy. Number one.
Yeah,
78% of people like.
Yeah, everybody wants to laugh.
So was,
then drama is probably number two.
Drama, 72% of people like drama.
Yeah, and then sci-fi, probably number three.
Sci-fi, you know, sci-fi is kind of broken up here. It's not really
action.
It's not really its own thing. Action, 49%. So that's actually one, two, three, four, five on the list.
Where's
romance?
Four?
Horror is at the bottom of the list of top seven. 22% of people
horror
said they like
horror
movies.
Horror is not a popular genre.
It's one of the least popular, apparently.
Romance.
Romantic comedies. 67% of people responded to say they like romantic comedies. That's third. So it's comedies, dramas, rom-coms. What's number four?
It's not action?
No. Action's number five. There's something between rom-com and action.
People don't like documentaries.
Kids movies? Is that
animation.
Yeah.
Animation. 56% of people say they like animated movies, then action, and then 41% say comic book movies.
Oh.
So I think the sci-fi stuff kind of got split up between action, comic book, horror, you know. So that's your top seven. Comedy is by far. People are like, everyone loves a laugh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And conversely, a lot of people don't like to get scared.
Correct.
And also, found these little tidbits interesting. 50% of people said reviews for movies are somewhat or very important when choosing movies.
Interesting.
So there's that, you know, people like to say, oh, the critics don't matter, blah, blah, blah. And for some movies, they certainly don't. Some movies are critic-proof, like, all the critics could have come out and chat all over the Avengers. It still would have made $1.5 billion, you know? Transformers, everyone hated that movie. It still made almost $1 billion. But 50% of people still care
about what people say.
Do you check Rotten Tomatoes, Matt? Do you do anything at all before you, sometimes when you're interested in a movie?
Or? I do. If I want to see a movie, I'm just going to see it. But if there's a movie coming out that I'm not sure whether or not it's worth checking out and it's got a 3% approval on Rotten Tomatoes, I'll be like, you know what? It's probably not worth it.
Right.
That's the only time it comes into play for me.
It'll dissuade you from... A lot of really bad reviews will dissuade you from seeing something. But if it's the other way...
Well, but not all... Because, like, Hangover 3, I was, I love that genre. And I was like, you know what? I don't care what, like... It got bad reviews. I was like, I'm just seeing this movie. Like, I don't care what anybody says about anything. I'm seeing this movie.
Yeah.
I love the Hangover movie.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's another one like the Transformers where it's like, who cares? I got to see it for myself. Mm-hmm. Even if it's bad, I have to know why. Why was it bad? And then finally, 3D. How many percentage of people, 100% out of 100% of people responding, how many do you think like 3D? Give me a percentage.
35.
You say 35, Matt?
That's where I was going. 45.
26% of people say they like 3D.
Yeah.
41% say they don't like it, and for some reason, 33% are unsure. I guess those are the same people that just watch your movies on TV.
Well, maybe they haven't been to 3D.
They don't go to enough 3D movies, even though it's been around long enough. All right, we got a bunch of questions from the Crespo Diso listeners. Good old at Mr. Nadathon said, with the rumors about Lex Luthor in Man of Steel 2, who is the dream casting choice and why? You guys hear about this? Bryan Cranston being rumored to be Lex Luthor?
Yeah, that'd be badass.
That'd be pretty wild. But, I mean, why? Because the guy...
Because he looks good bald and evil.
Yeah.
He looks good really bald, cool. And we know he's an evil son of a bitch.
And we know he can play evil, Lex Luthor. What do you think? Is that dream casting for you, or do you rather see someone else?
I heard that, and I thought... Because I actually heard that the other day, and I was like, man, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That is perfect.
Yeah, you think it's good? Drew, any idea? Any idea at all who you'd like to see?
I mean, in all reality, Lex Luthor is such a bland character.
You could put anyone in there.
Shave somebody's head as long as they can play a good bad guy, then
I
want to
see
got him.
I want to see a Ralph Fiennes as Lex Luthor.
Ooh,
super intense Ralph Fiennes.
That would be really good.
He's an intense dude.
He's a really good... And he looks good bald.
He looks good bald. So I'm in Coriolanus. Which is on Netflix.
And the Harry Potter series.
And Harry Potter. He looks good. Bald with no nose.
Funny face.
With funny face. Squish face. Where did I go? Oh, I got this one via email. You can email the show at cinemacrespediso@gmail.com. Listener Brian Ruby wants us to do a Crespedome battle. It's kind of a weird one. Rainn Wilson versus John Krasinski. Because he's a fan of The Office. So we need. I'm not even too sure.
I do not watch The Office.
You don't watch The Office.
I
are
know
you an Office
guys.
Fan at all?
Not huge, but I know who these guys are.
I mean, I know who the guys are, but to think of their filmographies.
Is this who we think is the better actor or what?
Who's the better actor and who would win in a fight? So first we'll start with who's the better actor, Rainn Wilson or John Krasinski. We usually use their bodies of work. Krasinski was in that Promised Land movie with Matt Damon.
Krasinski plays the same. He just kind of plays the lovable goofball and not goofball but the affable kind of everyman, you know, maybe slightly underdog, but
he doesn't really seem to take too many chances with his character.
You know, he does it well. He's that likable kind of guy.
Rainn Wilson,
Mr. Bland white dude.
Rainn Wilson, meanwhile, I've seen him in a few movies, and I've seen him try different things. Like, he's in that movie Hesher that DJ Babylack really likes with Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yep.
Remember him talking about that movie at all?
Not really.
Like a year ago or so. He's in Super? That. And yeah, well, I was going to say, in Hesher, he plays like a really depressed dude because his wife dies, and he's known for being, you know, in comedies, but he's not funny in this at all. It's more of a drama. And then in Super, he plays a superhero, like a wannabe superhero, who goes around beating people up with a wrench. That's on the Netflix. Check that one out. That's a very different, weird character. So I think just in terms of trying different things, Rainn Wilson would have to get my vote.
I think he
hit the nail on the head with Krasinski there and his blandness.
Oh no, I mean,
and
look,
his sameness, I should say.
You know, I think he's fine at what he does. I just don't think
I don't think it's bad.
I'd probably go Rainn Wilson.
It's just more interesting, dude.
Drew, but, I'm gonna have to agree. Mr. Krasinski is just another bland white guy.
But who would win in a fight? Krasinski looks like he's in a lot better shape.
He does, but
Krasinski in a fight.
Yeah,
I'm going to give Rainn Wilson a wrench and say he wins.
I guess if he happens to have a wrench on him, yeah. But then I'm going to give Krasinski a gun. I mean, what the hell? We're going to weaponize these guys now.
Sure, why not? Well, I don't know. Bland white guys don't. I don't think bland white guys can fight. You know, they're too worried about how pretty their face is, and you know they're getting scuffed on their pre-scuffed jeans.
It's the moneymaker, the pre-scuffed jeans. At crazyloco_, this question is: what is the best underrated and worst overrated movie you have ever seen? So okay,
yikes, think of a deep one.
That is a deep one. So think of an underrated movie. What is the best?
Underrated is easy for me.
Okay,
Broken Lizard's Club Dread.
Okay, yeah, no one ever talks about that movie.
I think they're the same guys that did Super Troopers and Beer Fest. And I think those guys are hilarious. I think they're really underrated. All their movies are, but Club Dread, it took me a while to see it because it was just so panned and people thought it was so stupid.
Yeah.
That movie is hilarious.
Is that the one where they're on like the island paradise?
They are, where the Jimmy Buffett guy plays Pina Coladaberg.
Yeah. Yep, I've seen it.
Nice. Have you ever seen Club Dread?
I have not seen Club Dread, no. I mean, I've seen Super Troopers.
Did you like Super Troopers?
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Please see Club Dread.
Okay.
It is a really, really funny movie.
Any idea if it's on Netflix or anything? Or?
I'm not sure. I don't think so, but man, it's...
Gotta track it out. Maybe they have it at my local library.
If you're into that sense of humor, it's just fantastic.
Word. All right. Awesome. Drew, do you have an underrated movie?
Speed Racer.
Oh, that's a good one.
Carfu, bro.
Yeah.
People don't understand the Carfu. They don't get it.
You ever see Speed Racer?
No.
Nobody gets that movie.
There's Carfu in that movie.
It's freaking amazing.
The cars like fly through the air
and then they kick each other.
And they bang each other and they're spinning around.
It is Carfu, literally.
So Wachowski's, man. They made a crazy movie.
So good.
Man, that's a good choice. Ooh, I want to take that choice. I want to steal that underrated movie. Oh my goodness, there's so many of them. I just gotta pick one. Oh my god, I can't even think of any. I can
give you another one right now.
What else you got?
The Rundown, very underrated, very good
underrated
movie.
Yeah, it's very underseen.
It's, The Rock, his first time in his
first action movie,
lead action role.
Yeah. Schwarzenegger even like
they do a handoff.
He's like, have fun. Don't kill everybody.
They do a freaking changing of the guards. I mean,
I'm gonna say for underrated, enough people don't give. Speaking of Schwarzenegger, Commando enough respect for being
Commando was pretty good.
A fun, crazy, over the top action movie. People get their arms cut off and their heads cut off with the buzz saws, and Schwarzenegger sticks a guy with a pipe and it goes through him into a steam pipe, and all the steam is coming out of the guy's stomach, and he goes, let off some steam. I mean, come on. That's
awesome.
Great.
It's like Predator when he puts the knife through the guy and the boy goes, stick around,
yes. Oh, love it. Okay, and worst overrated movie, most overrated movie.
I'm blanking on
I mean,
overrated.
Name a Transformers movie, any of the Avengers movies that have happened or are going to happen.
I don't think the Transformers movies are overrated. People know what they are. I think Avengers is overrated, but not the most overrated. Man. Titanic's a little overrated because it's just a 2.5-hour soap opera.
Or Avatar. King's Speech. Oh,
Avatar.
That movie won a freaking Oscar.
That one incenses you. So that one.
Dances with Smurfs.
That's
just.
Movie.
Yeah, Avatar is pretty.
It was visually stunning. And it blew my mind with the visuals and the technically. But, I mean, the story was just played out and
like,
stupid.
Man, been there, done that. You know, I've always thought Clerks was quite overrated, but I think that's also because I heard about Clerks, you know, when I was like 12, mm-hmm. and some people were like, you gotta see this, you gotta see this, and then I didn't see it until I was like 17, so
yeah.
5 years of hype for a very small, black and white, cheap movie about people talking in a convenience store.
Yep.
Too much hype, so that's always been a very overrated experience for me there.
Gotcha.
So there you go, Crazy Loco underscore. And that reminds me, I met Crazy Loco underscore, along with a bunch of people at the recent SBK Live event.
Yeah.
Yes.
Man, that was a lively, that was one of the liveliest crowds we've ever had.
That was fun.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
The sing bitch at the end, people were going boo crazy with all the,
yeah,
I mean, they were pretty, they were getting pretty hard on some of those players.
Yeah, they were.
But yeah, I got to meet Crazy Loco underscore, J-High 87, Mike 7 Deuce, that was the first time I got to meet him.
Yes.
Socially Ashward, who else is there? Rochelle and Jen, saw them, I've seen them before, but they were there. Who else? A lot of people.
Great
some
crowd.
Dude named Andrew. Emerge City, the Black Hasselhoff, met that guy, he's super cool.
A lot of
fun. That was definitely a good time. Got to do more of those live events. I got one more question. Then we got a lightning round, and then we're out of here. This question comes from Billy D, New York City senior show correspondent. He says, "Hey dudes, and possible guest, so that's you.
Nice.
Let's end off the summer with a choose your own film festival. Give us your best summer movies. Can be about summer, came out in summer, make you feel like summer, whatever. No summer, all bummer, Billy D." So a couple of summer movies. Which movies make you think of summer?
American Pie.
Yeah, right? It takes place during the summer, right?
And that was a great that was one, the first one. I mean, obviously it got watered down and everything, but the first one was a very generation-defining movie.
It was,
you know, people who 90s kids kind of as
for,
they...
For people of a certain age, it's like a cultural touchstone for them.
Because when it came out, I mean, with the dick in the pie and all the...
People were like, whoa, there's a movie about a guy screwing a pie.
Shannon Elizabeth naked.
Oh, man.
There's a lot of, like, iconic parts of that movie. And it was pretty wild when it came out.
Yeah, kind of weird. It didn't come out that long ago, but...
99, I think.
But people were, like, freaking out a little bit over that. And if that movie came out today...
Oh, it'd be
just be another movie that was out. But
if it wasn't for that movie, a lot of the movies that we've probably seen...
Paved the way a little bit. Yeah. Just the evolution is so fast on these things, you know, it's pretty crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Drew, you got one?
Wet Hot American Summer.
That's a fun one. Have you seen that one?
I actually just watched that, and it's actually
really good.
A really funny movie.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. I love how it's all about, you know, 16-year-olds, but they're played by a bunch of 30-year-olds.
Yeah.
They want to make a prequel to that movie. All the same actors playing the same characters, so they're going to be even older,
playing even younger people. That's awesome.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, that's a good one. I would go with Do the Right Thing because that takes place on like a hot summer day.
Yeah,
you can watch if you're like it's the middle of winter and you're feeling a little cold. Put on Do the Right Thing. You'll be sweating by the end of that movie. I mean, they get across that heat.
Yeah,
you know. So when you put those three movies together, you got yourself a nice little summer mini film festival there. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good work. Two comedies and a racially charged drama that'll get in your face and shake you like a baby. All right. We got a lightning round. Matt, I got 10 questions for you, Matt Mayan.
Sure.
Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. We're going to get inside the mind of Matty Ice. And Drew, set the clock.
Oh, boy.
And go.
Number one. Where is the best area in town to invest my cold hard cash into some property?
Oh, College Park couldn't be hotter right now.
All right, number two. Gluten-free, a healthy choice or just a fad?
I don't get it. I don't eat it, so I'm going to say a fad.
Okay. Number three, true or false, the Nakatomi Plaza building in Die Hard is really the NBC building.
True, that's too weird to be false.
Okay. Number four, Pluto. Should it be a planet again?
Yeah.
Okay. Number five, what is your favorite cartoon dog?
Stimpy?
Ooh. Number six.
Where was Ren the dog?
Ren was the dog.
Damn it.
Stimpy's a cat.
Stimpy's kind of ambiguous.
No, Stimpy was the cat.
Yeah, he is. I'll still take the answer, though. Number six, French bread or French kiss?
The kiss. Oui.
Number seven, it's eat.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Number eight. What is your favorite element on the periodic table?
Taking me back here. Uranium.
Oh, okay. Number nine. Would you like some pie?
No, I'm good.
And number 10. In what year did the television program 60 Minutes make its debut? 83. All right. That's your lightning round with Matty Ice. Let's go back real quick. Gluten-free, healthy choice, or just a fad? You said just a fad.
Yeah.
That is correct. It's just a fad. number three, true or false? Nakatomi Plaza building in Die Hard is really the NBC building. That's false.
Oh.
It was the Fox building.
Oh,
it's the Fox building, which is still there. I drove by it once, and I was like, oh, look, that's
Nakatomi Plaza.
That's still a building. Pluto, should it be a planet again? I think you said yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure, why not? Favorite dog, Snippy is a cat, so we got that one. French Red or French Kiss? You said kiss, that's correct. And your favorite element on the periodic table? Gold, man. AU. A, capital A, lowercase u, gold. That's your lightning round. See those two bags.
When did
right
60
there?
Minutes come out?
In what year did the television program 60 Minutes debut? You said 1983. The true answer is 1968.
Holy cow.
That show has been around forever.
Wow.
Forever. Red bag, turquoise bag, cinema crust miso swag bags. Make
I'll
your
do red,
choice.
Yeah.
Choose wisely, sir. Here we go. Pass that puppy over here so I can unveil it for you. Let's see. First, we got Angel got one of these two. Got you a little poster for Battle of the Year in 3D, starring Chris Brown.
Chris Brown.
There you go.
And Josh Holloway. That's a team.
It's a 3D dancing movie. That is a team for sure. Let's see. What else we got in here? We got you a movie, United 93. From the director of Bourne, Ultimatum.
Too depressing. I can't watch
the movie about
this.
I
can't watch this.
That
it's
one plane, the hijacked plane.
I don't like watching movies where I have the potential to cry.
Oh, you have the potential in that one for sure. We got in here, does this even have a label on it? We got a crush ball, squeeze it.
Oh, nice.
Ages 3 and up. It's a little baseball. We got in here a DG party brand party glow stick. Snap it and
use that tonight.
Have a rave party. Got you a Super Bang cap shot, 8 shots cap gun.
Oh boy.
And how can you have a cap gun without some
caps?
Caps,
yeah.
There you go,
caps.
Buddy.
I didn't even know they made cap guns anymore.
They make them again. All you got to do is paint that thing black. We're robbing some banks. And finally, a 3-pack of Cinema Crust Modiso stickers.
Nice.
There you go, sir.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you for coming on the show. We appreciate it, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, man.
Always a good day.
Good time. Episode 34. That was a lot of fun. Drew, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
And I would want to mention this earlier in the show. I keep forgetting, but we're still looking for a good sign-off.
Still haven't found
a
good one yet.
Send us a Twitter suggestion. I am Chris Crespo or at CrespoD. So with hashtag sign-off, give us your suggestions. So I have one here. This week, it's from at crazyloco_. I'm going to say it, and then no reaction. We're just closing out. We're just done. Okay. All right, so here we go. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening. Crespo Cogburn, we out!